Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions about writing, comedy, life, and love, and which will end just as soon as we're both well-rounded people who have it all figured out, which means, sorry folks, you're stuck with at least me forever. I am one half of the show, writer, comedian, and person who once upon a time wanted nothing more than to be the guy who operates the paint-shaking machine at Home Depot, Daniel O'Brien, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer, father, husband, picker, grinner, lover. Some people call me Maurice. I guess that's it. Thanks to Postmates for supporting Quick Question. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food. That's why I love using Postmates. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code QQ for Quick Question. Oh, wait, you wanted to shake the paint?
That was like early on elementary school, maybe up through fourth or fifth grade, seemed like the coolest job in the world. I remember going to Home Depot with my parents when they were picking up paint for some home project, and I don't know how common this still is because I haven't bought paint in a minute, but you pick out a color that you want, and very often the colors need to mix in the paint can, so the Home Depot attendant puts the colors in the can, bats it down with a hammer, and then puts it in a machine that just shakes it so quickly and so powerfully and so violently to mix all the colors. And then the employee takes the can from there and hands it to you, and you buy it with money. And I was so starstruck by that process.
He gets that little peek, right? Like he takes it out, and then he uses his little tool and he gets a little peek and he puts his pinky in there and then dabs it on the top.
Yeah.
Oh. He gets to see it first.
The action of the paint can shaking in the machine was so mesmerizing to me. I was just like, what do I got to do? What needs to bend right in my life that I can one day be shaking paint cans professionally?
Yeah.
And like, I still kind of feel that way because it seems like it would be very fun and mesmerizing work. I also remember this is like a nice bow on my life that I wanted to do either that when I grew up or... we would watch a lot of America's Funniest Home Videos growing up, and I wanted Bob Saget's job. Like, those were the two things. And so one time we went on vacation to Florida when I was very small, and my parents got a caricature artist to do caricatures of my brothers and I, and my brothers and me, rather. And they asked me, like, all right, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, the guy who shakes paint cans at Home Depot. And my parents were like, no. What's the other thing? I was like, Bob Saget. And they're like, comedian. Bob Saget is like the host of America's Home Videos. We might like let's straighten this out to just comedian. And so there's a caricature that still exists of me as a comedian, and it felt very fortuitous because now I've been doing comedy professionally for many years, just because my parents, like a lot of parents, squashed my early dreams.
Yeah,
of course. Like, you'll never be a paint shaker. Settle for something else.
You'll have to be a doctor. I'm so sorry. We just don't have the money to send you to paint shaking school.
Get your head out of the clouds, you asshole. Be a comedian and something reasonable like that.
It's funny you should say that because I used to watch Full House when I was a child, and you know, Uncle Joey slayed me, and he was a stand-up, and then he started like transitioning into puppetry.
Yes.
And it was right around the time when it hit me of like, that's what I wanted. It was you hear that woodchuck that was like constantly like looking around and going, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, I think puppetry might be my calling. And I thought I would practice it. And I thought, I think I could get good at this. Finding out that other comedians have done this throughout time, that there have been other ones with a dummy on stage while they drink water. And I thought for a hot minute that that's what I wanted my career to be.
A ventriloquist comedian?
Yeah.
Someone who's not me needs to do a deep dive into this because I also owned a ventriloquist dummy at some point in my life. Like it was the Christmas gift that I wanted. I got so many fucking weird requests for gift. I issued so many weird requests for gifts growing up. I was like, hey, mom and dad, tell Santa this is the thing this year. I don't, like, I have a list of a bunch of stuff, but if you can only do one, it's ventriloquist dummy. That's the thing that I have decided. That's the path that I'm taking. And, like, God bless my parents, who were just like full bore, I guess our kid's gonna be weird and maybe a virgin forever, but fine. His brother asked for a basketball, his other brother asked for a guitar. They'll continue the family line.
And they have. I'm really pleased that your parents got you a ventriloquist dummy.
They did, yeah. They're very supportive of all of my stupid ideas. I'm very lucky.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it didn't last super long for me, but I thought for a little bit, based on Joey, I was like, I could do that.
Yeah.
I would be great at that. And it was just like, maybe what it is that feeling of just being unleashed, where you're allowed to say and do whatever you want as the dummy, because you're the straight guy. You're the one who gets to act out against the dummy. Be like, no, that's, you're gone too far, dummy. And then the dummy gets to say whatever he wants. And I felt the same way about mascots when I was a kid, where it was like, even the announcers are pretending that those mascots are real dinosaurs and giant headed balls and things like that. And I don't know, the
giant
Mets.
Headed balls. Yeah, I know you're talking about Mr. Met, but there's a better way to describe him.
Yes. And I thought, that's like the job. You get to do whatever you want. You just fuck around the whole time, and your job is to sow chaos. And as a kid, like, you're trying not to step out of line because you don't totally know all the rules yet. And you do things that just seem fun. And then your parents are like, was that a good idea? And you're like, oh, no, I guess that was pretty dumb. But that's your job. And I think as the dummy, too. So maybe that was what it was for me. It's just like this. You feel so unshackled by societal norms.
Is that an itch that you still feel? Because I think about that a lot with, because I'm obviously obsessed with John Mulaney, the writer, comedian, performer, where he does this show, Oh Hello, with Nick Kroll, where his character is like unleashed, mean, and rude to people. And John Mulaney, as his reputation suggests, is a very kind person. And his stand-up will back this up, as he's just like a very brilliant comedian who goes through life trying not to offend anyone, but then gets to play this character in Oh Hello where he is so mean and he's so good at it. And I feel like I can recognize something in like the glint of his eye where I'm like, oh, you love this.
Yeah, this is a valve release for you.
This is like this is the thing that you think but stop yourself from saying. That's very fun. Do you feel like you have that still, as someone who in a past life wanted to use a dummy to speak truth to power?
Yeah, I would think I would like to have a Tony Clifton that I could also be. Seems very appealing to me.
I wonder if the opposite of that is true. If like really horrible people are like, man, I wish I had a ventriloquist dummy that would be like, nice hair or whatever.
Oh, fuck. That's such a good bit, Dan. Somebody who does ventriloquist dummies, but like they're the awful person and the dummy's just like trying to get the show back on the rails.
Like a reverse Jeff Dunham where the comedian is being super racist and the public's like, hey, man, it's 2020. What the fuck are you doing? Straighten up. Your voice is not even needed here. Get off the stage.
I invited you as a guest to the show and you're ruining it. I like that. Maybe I'll get back. That's my second a win? Yeah. My second career win. Well, Dan, we should start the show, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. The show where we ask each other questions. Sometimes we check in before we actually get into the meat of the show and do like a quarantine check-in. I don't really have anything. It's bad. How about you?
Yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep sucking. It sucks pretty hard right now, but it's only because it's going to suck so bad in September when my son has to, like, we're figuring out schooling right now. And it's just a
nightmare. Yeah. Is that too serious a topic for this show? Because you've been pretty outspoken about it on Twitter about not wanting schools to reopen.
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea. Even if my son doesn't go to school, I don't like the idea of all these other kids going to school. Not only will some of them get very, very sick and maybe even have lasting consequences from that. But the teachers too. I mean, all the school districts are underfunded already. They don't have any sort of capacity to handle this sort of thing. And so they're like making do with the best that they can. And they're asking a lot of the teachers without any additional pay. The teachers are ending up in situations where like they'll teach some kids on Tuesdays and Thursdays and other kids Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, but it's the same teacher. So the same teacher is exposed to just the same number of kids the whole way through. It's all just like this huge disaster. And they're expecting parents to step up and do these pods, which are, you get a bubble basically. You have a certain number of kids that in your neighborhood who you trust, and you trust those families, and you've all agreed to how much social interaction you're going to have with the rest of the world. And then you have the kids over to your house one day, you have the kids over to another house another day, and they're learning there. And it's just a lot of work on top of two working parents too. And we're just trying to negotiate that right now.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I say this knowing that there's no way you can take me up on it, but let me know if there's anything I could do, man. Anything you need from me from here in Manhattan to ease this burden, I will do it. I swear, man, yeah. Anything.
No, that's very kind of you. Thank you so much for that hollow offer. Just hearing it is what I wanted. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Dan, I got a quick question for you.
Shoot.
Now, I'm not as extremely online as I used to be. And there's a thing that happens now, I think probably within like the last 7 years, that I just don't get. On Twitter, it happens a lot where someone will say, I'm feeling low. Send pictures of your dogs or like send pictures of your pets. And I don't have a pet, but you do. And I'm wondering if maybe you understand this a little bit more than I do. It would mean nothing to me to see some blurry, poorly lit picture of somebody's 14-year-old dog lying on the floor.
Yeah. I have two main things to say about this. One, you said that this is something that you haven't been too online for the last, you said, 7 years. So 2013, you were fully employed at Cracked for a couple more years.
I don't know what time is, man. I'm just throwing out numbers. You know I'm bad at math.
I always forget that in the middle of your tenure at Cracked, you just went full analog.
I went dark.
And you're like, guys, yeah.
Fell off the grid. I turned in all my columns on paper. I mailed them in, snail mail.
Someone was like, we're switching over to Slack now. And you're like, final straw, I'm out.
That's it.
You can only find me via daguerreotype.
See you in Alaska.
But the other thing I have to say is that I can't offer you any guidance or information on this because I also don't understand. And as a dog owner, I don't send pictures of my dog to people unless it's someone who's like very close to me. And it's like, sure, you can have this. I don't do it because I don't want to indulge in that kind of behavior because I also don't entirely understand it. Because if I'm feeling low, first of all, I don't tell the internet about that. Second of all, if looking at pictures of cute animals is the thing that's going to cheer me up, I don't know why asking Twitter is easier or more efficient than Googling cute animals. Like, I Googled ducks in watermelon the other day and I found it and it was great. And I was like, this is what I want to see right now. I want to see a GIF of a bunch of ducks paddling around in a halved watermelon. Good. You think if I just asked Twitter, cheer me up with pet pics, that they would have found that as quickly as I found it when I was looking for it? No. Of course not. If I can issue a calmer answer, I think what people do get, and I'm just speculating here, it's a mix of cute animals and also you see people who are supporting you.
Yeah, I guess that must be... Oh, by the way, I just looked up kittens and socks just to like try one, and it's fucking great.
I bet it is. I bet it's better than if you'd sat at Twitter waiting for someone to scratch an itch that they couldn't identify.
But yeah, I think I assume it has to be the connection. It has almost nothing to do with the dogs. It's just, you know, you're going to ask for something people want to give. People are eager to give, to share this part of their life. Like, this is a thing I'm proud of. I like this dog a lot. I think I've done a good job raising this dog. I'm a good dog owner. here's a picture of him. And he's happy, look. And then that, you know, you're going to get a response back from that too. And then it just starts like a little dialogue. So I wonder if it's just interacting with people is what you're going for. And it's just like, here's the start.
I think it goes a long way for the recipient who just like, in addition to wanting to see cute animals, which is a very human want to have, you want to feel like people hear you and will support you and will go to bat for you in what is, in retrospect, like a very easy and simple thing that a person can do.
That makes sense.
Which is nice and goes a long way.
I guess I
should start doing it and sending pictures of my dogs to people.
I don't know, man. I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to indulge that. I think you could probably just check in with that person. That's what they want.
Right. I would much rather do that. Just be like, hey, what's going on? You want to talk? We can get on the phone right now. We can get on FaceTime. That's totally, completely okay. Right. I feel weird just like tweeting a picture of my dog at someone who is depressed right now.
Is this good enough? It's not a good dog. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's not helpful.
I certainly don't want to make light of depression or anything like that. And I know that you don't either. I want to make light of this very strange Twitter phenomenon.
It is strange. And it's, I mean, a lot of times I see it when like there's some event in somebody's life. Something has gone wrong. They've gotten fired or whatever. And they're like, I could really use some support right now. Send me, there's a lazier cousin of this, which is no cheating. Send me the 8th photo in your phone to lighten my day. It's like, what are you going to fucking get out of that? What are you going to get out of a paint SKU number that I need when I go to Home Depot?
Right. It's almost always going to be like, oh, this is a list of ingredients for a recipe. I was at the grocery store and I wanted to, I look down at it. Here it is. The 8th picture in my camera roll was sun-dried tomatoes, basil, butter, garlic, rigatoni. Did it fix anything? Are you better?
Help. I see that one a lot too. And I'm like, and so sometimes I'll just like look through my phone and be like, well, how would a third party perceive this? And I'm like, always, I'm like, they'd be bored. It's boring. The things I'm taking pictures of are out of necessity. Oh, a Pella window that I liked. When I went to a door and window store. I've never understood it. I guess maybe if people... No, I don't want to see that either. I was going to say with babies. If other people... If I was like, hey, I want to see pictures of your babies. Not only would that be very creepy, but if people actually sent them, I would get nothing out of that. I would feel hollow. I'd be like, right. I don't... Because in general, I don't like other kids. I like my kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're different that way. I full on babysat a child yesterday.
You know, I was the same way, Dan. When I was going to have kids, up until that point, I was baby crazy. Like, I loved all kids. Mm-hmm. I loved every baby equally. And like, I liked spending time with them. I liked making them smile. I loved it. And since I've had my own kids, I've really pulled back and been like, oh, you know what? Other kids suck more.
Oh, I see what happened. I was just desperate. I didn't have a great baby, so I was settling for these mediocre, mid-talent babies. I had no idea.
Right. It was any port in a storm as far as babies go, until I had one of my own, and then I was like, oh, fuck all these other kids. This one's great.
No questions about me babysitting yesterday?
Oh, sorry.
I feel like that was sorry. No, I mean, you don't have to.
You full on babysat a child yesterday?
Not really.
Oh, great. All right.
We have, so the garden at my apartment is open, like this big shared outdoor space. And I go there to write sometimes because it's not my couch, which is a plus. And there was a woman and like a 2.5-year-old, I want to guess, little girl who were also there. And I was working on my computer outside because we have Wi-Fi there. And the woman went to the barbecue to prepare dinner. And the little girl just started screaming, not in like an alarmist sort of way, but in a look at me, I'm making noise, can anyone see me sort of way. So I would look and I would smile at her. And then she just walked up and she started talking to me. And like, language isn't great because she's 2.5. And her like true handler was like very invested in whatever she was grilling at the time. And I would look up sometimes and the little girl would be like standing on top of a picnic table. And I was like, oh no, hey, baby, small baby, no, get down from there. She's like, all right, where should we go? I was like, oh, now I'm in this now. And we would just like go and look around at things. And like, she saw a plane and got very excited about that. And I was like, oh, okay, I know where this goes. And I was like, now look over there, there's a boat. And she's excited. Look over there, there's a bird. And she's excited. And then we just did that for like, I don't know, 40 minutes. Yeah. Just me wandering around in this garden every once in a while, checking on the kid's grandma to be like, you're cool that a stranger is just like pointing at boats with
a 30-something year old man is taking an interest in your child.
Yeah. I'm only doing this because I don't want her to stand on tables and fall off. And then it ended. Then the grandma came over and she was like, hey, put your shoes on. And the little girl turned to me and she was like, can't do it without help. And I was like, you're gonna fucking have to. I'm not touching a stranger's kid's feet. I don't know what any of the rules are at this point. I'm the only one who cares.
You're terrified of touching a child's feet.
Yeah.
I think that's probably good. I think the line you've drawn in the sand is distant from pedophilia.
Yes.
I don't think you're in any danger.
Thank you.
I guess I do still like, if a kid just like marches up to you and is like, hey, I'm talking to you now, I am very charmed by that. Like bending to the will of a stranger in that capacity is really fun.
Yeah. It's very fun because I've been around enough kids at that age that like you know the things they're going to like. Like as soon as she points to a plane and is super excited about it, I was like, oh, okay, then I'm going to blow your mind with some sailboats. Come this way. You're going to see sailboats and you're going to like that too. And
a little
like,
further. Now let's go this way a little further. Let's go a little further away.
Yeah. No. No. What you're describing is luring, I believe.
Ooh, you want to see some fishermen? They have lures. I'm a fisherman, you know.
All right.
I know what you mean, though, Dan. And you're right. It is. It seems so easy too. Like with adults, you're kind of like negotiating. You know how I do this when I start talking to another adult that I've never met before. I just start asking questions until I've got something that I can know of anything about, and then I've got them. Like then I can like get them talking.
Yeah.
I want to know where you're from. I want to know what your job is. I want to know these things, and not because it's like, are you useful to me? I want to know how the fuck am I going to talk to you?
Right. And it's the same way that like when you. I might have even learned this from you, like a very, very young baby, like just a few months old, where they get mesmerized by like different contrasting colors and how that can excite them for a very long time. If I'm holding a baby that is a few months old and it's like, oh, okay, I know this area. I know you're really going to like this window. I know you're going to go nuts for this window. And I'm just like excited that I could be like, hey, look at this.
And like, yeah. And they can't hide it either. They are, they wear it all on their face. I forgot to tell you this, Dan. When Ronan was first born, you gave him a little glowworm. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Gilly loves it.
Really?
She's all about it.
Oh, that's good. That's very exciting. Yeah. I'm glad. I'm glad you kept it too. That's nice.
She really likes faces. Well, that was one of the things that Ronan was like, I like this, but I think it's important that my sister has it, when Colleen was still pregnant. And he was going to pass it on to her. He kept it in her crib and everything. And
I want to cry on this podcast. Shit.
And he gave it to her. And she, you know, for the first part of their lives, they don't know anything. But she's gotten old enough now that the fact that it's a face that lights up and also plays like a pleasing sound, melodious sound, she is just like, we put it on the changing table with her so that she doesn't wiggle around a lot, because she'll just sit there and watch it. As always, everybody, thank you for supporting us at Quick Question. And another way you can support us, other than just listening and telling your friends about us, is to show some love to our sponsors. And in this case, our sponsor is Postmates.
Now,
Daniel, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Is there a restaurant in your neighborhood where you've been like, man, it would be great to go there, but I can't get in? The reservations are like booked out for like 6 months. By the way, this is like back in the day when we didn't have COVID. Is there a restaurant like that where you'd be like, oh, there's no way I can think that far ahead?
Yeah, Mama Fuku.
Okay, so you want to go to Mama Fuku. You maybe want to go to Milk Bar afterwards. And you can't do it, but with Postmates, you can. Postmates is offering services to thousands of businesses. And you can find that restaurant there through Postmates and get your Mama Fuku delivered right to you. That duck in those, like, whatever that flatbread is that they put it on, and then the plum sauce on top. Oh, mm-hmm. man. Dan, you could be in heaven tonight after we do this podcast. And it's important to support local businesses like that right now because it's really tough on them during COVID. You know, you can't have the ordinary structure where you have people coming in and frequenting your business every single night. And so a lot of these businesses are struggling to stay alive. Some of my favorite restaurants in my neighborhood, they're shutting down because they just aren't getting enough business. And so it's important that you support your local businesses. And the best way to do that is with Postmates. And Postmates in particular right now is great. This is why I love them, because right now I can get food delivered without even leaving the house or even opening my front door. With COVID and everything in the world, I don't totally know everything about it. I don't know how it moves from person to person. It freaks me out to think about because I got a newborn and I got a young son. So I can just get deliveries straight to my door. They can ring the doorbell. They just take a picture of the food. Boom. I go out there. I pick it up. We never have to talk to another human being. And I have Mama Fuku. Well, my equivalent of that here where I live. Hmm. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I've been using to order takeout from my favorite local restaurants. And Postmates doesn't just deliver your dinner or your meal. They actually make life easier by picking up everything I could possibly need at Walgreens. They do drugstore deliveries, 7-Eleven, and they drop all of that off outside my door. You just got to download Postmates on iOS or on Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and then use code QQ. That's code QQ for $100, 100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
Well, that's very nice to hear. Yeah. I wonder if I have any questions for you.
I have another one for you if you want.
You do? Okay, yeah.
You want to do that instead?
Well, I yeah.
Okay. You're a reader. I'm a reader too, Daniel. And there are certain words that I come across in books. I know the meaning of them. I know how to read them. No problem. I don't even stutter once. But if I had to use them in conversation, I would be too embarrassed that because I don't actually know how they're pronounced. And I've lived my entire life not pronouncing them. And I wonder if you have any of those that you would like to figure out how they're pronounced right now.
I have one that I know how to pronounce now, but I disagree with the pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one that I definitely don't know how to pronounce.
Okay.
What do you want to hear about first?
I want to hear the one that you don't know how to pronounce at all.
Okay. It's C-H-I-A-S-M-A.
Hold on, let me type this in. C-H-I... What?
A-S-M-A.
Chasma?
It's part of the brain where optic nerves cross over each other. It's a thing that I only know about because DOBs, devotees know that at some point, brag alert, I started to lose vision in my right eye due to stress, and since then was studying up on this stress-induced blindness disorder called central serous retinopathy, and that just took me down long rabbit holes about the optic nerves, I suppose, and eye things.
Okay. Well, fortunately, this one doesn't come up in conversation at all very much.
No, it doesn't, but
Chiasma?
Yeah. Oh,
or
man.
Chiasma? No, I think it's chiasma. I want
chiasma to be right.
Maybe it is chiasma. It's just... It's chiasma.
It's chiasma?
Yeah.
See, this is the same thing as the other word that I
bungle.
I want to... Yeah. And the origin of this one is it's a good one. It's a word that I'd read a whole bunch of time, a whole bunch of times. I'd read several times in my life, and then in high school I was in like doing a theater competition where I was doing a scene from a play with a person, and this word came up in it, and I mispronounced it every single time on purpose because I believed I was right. If it would have been very effective for the character and also like a funny joke if I was like consciously doing it to be wrong, but I was not. But it was a scene, it was like a couple was fighting, and the woman of the couple was like, "You're being patronizing." And I said, "I'm not being patronizing." And we never talked about it. That was just a thing that like I thought it should be pronounced patronizing, and I'm gonna do that forever. And in the context of the scene, it works, but I wasn't meaning it to. I really thought patronize was the right way to say that word, and I know that I'm wrong, but I still feel like my pronunciation is better.
It's not patronizing?
No, it's patronizing.
What? Does it have to be? Like what?
I mean, it's 2020. Anything can be whatever, right? Strike that.
Patronizing.
Isn't it patronizing?
I think it's patronizing is right.
Patronizing is right?
Yes.
Fuck you, Miss Taylor.
Fuck Miss Taylor, man. She's trying to lure you into her weird vocabulary. That's not right.
Okay, well.
A weird lexicon? No.
If I'm right about that, then I've never pronounced anything wrong in my entire life except chiasma.
Congratulations.
Chiasma. Chiasma?
Yeah, chiasma.
Fuck.
All right, well, I've got one that I used once, and it became obvious in the middle of the conversation that somebody didn't know what I was saying, and so I've never used it since, and we didn't clear it up on the day. This is a word, the way that I pronounced it was macabre. It's...
Oh boy.
It's a M-A-C-A-B-R-E. And I think that it's either pronounced now macabre or just macabre, and then the R-E can fuck off.
Yeah, I think you make the R shape with your mouth, but you don't vocalize it at all. Macabre.
Macabre. Oh, see, it's too subtle for my poor lips. Macabre.
You have such tiny lips.
Macabre is certainly not right. But that's a word that shows up a lot in if you're like reading old gothic shit. And that was my jam for a little while. And then I didn't realize that I was pronouncing it wrong. And then after that, I was too embarrassed to ever try it again. So you think it's macabre?
I think it's macabre.
Macabre. Macabre. I'm still not going to use it. I thought I might learn something here, and I'm still not comfortable with it.
Like, this has been such a switch because I thought for so long that it was patronizing because I'd been corrected in my youth. And now I'm looking at phonetic pronunciations of it online, and it's patronizing.
It's patronizing. It's got to be patronizing. Because that's how I say it, too.
Good.
And, I mean, this fits with your Mario brand.
Hell yeah. Give me those hard A's.
There was somebody that I used to know that I won't name their name because this is pretty silly.
Gautier. Somebody that I used to know. It was Gautier.
Gautier is how you pronounce it. I was saying goatee. somebody that I used to know that in the middle of a conversation was telling me that it was chaos. Saying, like, it's fucking...
Instead of chaos?
Yes. Chaos. And they were way too old to not know the word chaos. And also grew up in the Sega generation when you had chaos emeralds that you needed to collect. Mm-hmm. And still didn't know it. And I was like, I was just blown away. And it was very hard for me not to rib them about it.
Yeah. That's...
In other words, nice. Bully them about it.
Like, side question about this is that I never know what to do if someone mispronounces a word in front of me. And then my response to them also includes that word. do you find a way to skirt around that word? Do you pronounce it the way that they pronounced it? Or do you... without confrontation, pronounce it the way that you know to be correct.
I think you do it both. You do it your way, and then you catch yourself, and you go, and then you pronounce it their way. You say whatever. I might be pronouncing that wrong. And so you're the one who says, this is just how I pronounced it.
Yeah.
Knowing full well this is how it's pronounced.
It's a very useful tool that I often forget. If someone was like, oh yeah, there's a huge chasm over between those two pieces of land. It's egoless for me to respond, oh, is it chasm? I've been saying chasm my whole life. Let's look into this. Because then it's like, no one's dumb. We both, at that point, are 50-50 dumb.
Yeah.
And then we come to the truth together. But I never think to do that in the moment. I just think like, well, how am I supposed to get out of this now? I don't want to seem like I'm smarter than them, but I'm also not going to debase myself by saying chasm. So I guess I gotta push them down into the chasm.
You have no choice. Yeah, no choice. Yeah, you have.
I have no choice. That's right.
I have no choice. So my son has something similar to this. It's not completely the same, and it's Colleen's fault and my fault because we've always said it this way. But at some point, he's going to learn the weekend, which is Saturday and Sunday. He's only ever known it as the freaking weekend. So that's
what, I mean, that sounds like an impossible to avoid mistake.
We've always called it that just to like get him excited, because we're like, because he wants to know about what day it is, and we're like, and then this day and then this day, and because on those mornings he gets to just wake up, doesn't have to put on pajamas or clothes, and he gets to go downstairs and watch TV, and we're like, and then after Friday, what is it? And he'll say freaking weekend. Yeah. And it's so adorable that we've never stopped doing it. And so that's all he's ever called it.
Man, that's got me freaked for one day having kids, for the amount of things that have just landed themselves in my own idiolect.
Yeah.
That like, when I'm talking to friends, I'll be like, what are you guys going to do for Shocktober? Or or if I'm not saying that, Rocktober.
Because you're a huge Rockies like, fan, right?
Right. And just like how casual I am about like changing words because they're fun and silly to me, that one day I'll be like, oh, my son, you're going to school for the first day and you're going to be around children. Okay, so here's the thing. It's not Shocktober. It's not Rocktober. It's not Shop Till You Droptober. It's October. I know this is a lot of information to be throwing at you at once. It's also, you're not allowed to say something is unreasonable. It's unreasonable. These are, I should have prepped you better for life, but I just didn't, because it felt like a good bit at the time.
And it's so fun to hear you say it. So I just forced you to do it. Yeah. Freaking weekend is just like, it's so charming to hear a 3-year-old who can't pronounce R's say freaking weekend and like get excited about it. Like, you're like, and what comes after that? And then like, he smiles real big and he goes, freaking weekend. Like, yes. Yes, it is. Good luck in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're here for me, not the other way around.
Yeah. Have fun eventually telling your therapist that your parents gaslit you, or as we've been saying it, asslit you, because it was funnier.
Well, also, I got very into Michael Crichton when I was like 9 or 10, as I'm assuming you probably did too.
Oh, yeah.
And I read Jurassic Park before the movie came out, because I was 9 or 10 before you. And for the longest time, my dad, my brother, and I called them Velociraptors.
Oh.
Velociraptors.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing how it could possibly be pronounced. And so when I saw the movie, I was like, oof, they are butchering that.
They should have had one of us consult on this.
So that's not how you say Velosi. And so trying to like convince schoolmates and stuff like that, no, it's Velosi. It's Velosi. It's my dad. He knows.
Yeah.
And then being completely
right,
wrong.
And the kids are like, are you sure it's not Velociraptor? Like velocity? It's like, no, listen to me. My dad said.
Yeah. We read it. We read it in an RV on the way to Disney World once. And he said Velosi in every chapter. I think it's that.
Speaking of kids, I've got a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
This might be a little premature, but I'm just looking at the shape of our nation with quarantine and COVID and all that, and thinking about the possibility of Halloween being canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about that for your son? Is there like a a thing to still make that special? Or is like, because he's at the age where he, I believe, knows what Halloween is.
Oh, yeah. No, he's way into Halloween. I have not even thought about Halloween.
Okay. I mean, it's still, we're recording this in July. So it's fine if you didn't. It's just the kind of thing I've been very, even though it's not my problem at all, just been very focused thinking about the effects of all of this on children right now, and like the experiences that I know as normal that they aren't getting, and like what are the creative ways to
help them get
address them and still make this special.
I like that you're thinking about it, Dan, because I have not been. And I need somebody accounting for my blindnesses. I have not thought about that at all. And it's not too early to be thinking about that, because last year by July, I had already ordered his costume from Latvia on Etsy.
Was that Hedgehog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a dope costume. He still wears it all the time. And we've gotten a lot of mileage out of it. And maybe he'll just be a hedgehog again while we go around the house collecting candy.
Right.
And maybe we'll do some sort of Easter egg hunt type of thing, but with candy instead in the house. That might be fun for him. And other than that, I think maybe for the other kids, I could just leave some candy out and watch it so that when they come and take too much, I can go refill it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's pretty sad to think about. I had a really sad moment the other day, and not too sad for this podcast, where we were looking at another preschool where we could potentially send him a couple days a week and then homeschool him the other days, just so he has like some sort of social interaction with like four other kids. And going there, she was showing us the jungle gym that's there. It's just a climbing structure. And she was saying how she has a 18-month-old there who has a hard time. He's very, very nervous on the climbing structure. Or maybe he was two. It might have been like, yeah, I think he was two. And he's very nervous on it. And I realized that it was because when he was at the age where he would have started climbing on this kind of thing, that's March. That's when all of this happened. And so he's never been on a climbing structure his whole life. And so like he hadn't gotten that experience yet. And he's like, what is this brand new thing? After he'd been walking around and running around for a very long time. And I was like, oh man, there are so many of those things that we're just not accounting for with kids, where the leaps are so quick and in such fast succession that we don't know which ones we're missing right now.
Yeah. Oh, you were wrong. That is too sad for this podcast.
What's
something else? Something else.
Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do for Halloween. I think, I mean, the eternal optimist in me always thinks, oh, this will be done by next week, and has been thinking that since I left work in February and never went back into the office.
Right.
But it's gotta get at least a little bit better at some point, I would assume. Well, not that time of year though. I guess it'll just get way, way worse because everyone will be getting other types of sicknesses at the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we'll do. We also have...
I am so sorry I brought this up. Should we talk about something else?
There's good solutions to these types of things. Birthdays have gotten... like, I think kids have sort of figured out the birthday racket now. Do you know about that?
Absolutely not.
They do, like,
not.
Drive-by birthdays?
I will need some more information.
Well, okay, so somebody comes with a gun and shoots everyone in your house. No, it's
okay.
It's a the friends of that kid a lot of times will do a drive-by birthday where the kid comes outside and there's just this parade of cars that come through, and they've made like a cardboard sign or whatever, and they shout out their window happy birthday at the child, and the kid still gets to feel very special, like it's their day, and here's something brand new that doesn't usually happen, and they all their friends are involved in it. And it feels very good in the same way that a party does, just clearly doesn't last as long. Nobody gets cake or anything. But people have been elaborating on that with like, and here's a bag that's party favors. And like you hand one of these out to each car. And it's not the same, but it's kind of scratching the same
solution.
Itch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody's sort of like making do. And I think we've really been lucky in that with his birthdays, we haven't ever really done a party. We've always taken him somewhere. And this year we're taking him away into a cabin up in the woods. And it's just like something cool. He likes camping a lot. We can't really go camping in LA because you're so close to everybody else in a lot of those campsites and there's no guarantee they'll be open.
Yeah.
But we're taking him up to like a cabin in the middle of nowhere. And I asked the guy, like, can we set up a tent outside? And he was like, I wouldn't. There's bears everywhere. And I was like, yes. Oh, this is going to be so great. And I ran and told him there's going to be bears there. Like, we just got to keep our eyes out for bears every night. This is going to be so much fun. And he's getting very pumped about that. So we're lucky in that regard.
That's cool. Are you bringing the little one too?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's coming. I mean, she won't. She doesn't know what a bear is.
Yeah.
She won't get excited by that. If that's what you're wondering.
No, I was just wondering, like in a pinch, she knows how to, like, scare off a bear, even if she doesn't know what a bear is.
Yeah, first thing we taught her.
Like, oh, yeah.
As soon as she was, yeah. Like, once she was clear that things we were doing were registering with her, like, she was laughing at my joke, like, the me tickling her and stuff. I was like, oh, okay, here's the things you need to know. Here's a pot and a pan. You're going to need to get strong enough to hold these things in your hands and clap them together and say, hey, bear. Hey, bear.
Mm-hmm. I like the humility of you correcting yourself because you're going to say she's laughing at my jokes and then you stopped yourself and said tickling. Like you you know that your jokes aren't landing with her yet.
It's very clear that the games aren't registering and I'm just like waiting for that. I forget, you know, you have another child and you have your things where you're like waiting for them to hit certain milestones. I really want him to get into the idea of organized sports and enjoy it where he wants to practice it. So I want to like hit balls with him or just throw a ball or kick a soccer ball with him and have him understand like the fundamentals of there's goals on each side. We're working against each other. It's okay if you lose. Like that kind of stuff is really enticing to me. And I forget that she doesn't even stand the simplest of games where like I pretend my hand is a machine claw that's like moving towards her very slowly. It starts making the claw shape and then tickles her stomach. She's like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, oh yeah, you don't get that yet. You're gonna love that someday.
It's a look, just so you know, it's I'm doing a really good robot claw sound. Yeah. It's like yeah, like I work in animation. I know how to use sound to convey something effectively. And like you like frankly you're being spoiled right now and you want to just like you just want tickling, fine.
The first one that she's gotten is, I don't know if you ever see that video where somebody, an interviewer, asked Charles Manson when he's in prison, like, who are you? And he makes about 14 faces and then says, yeah. No one. I do that.
I've seen this video.
I do that for her. I make the faces and the little like the blow and everything. And she loves it. Right. So that's either terrifying or a good sign that she's starting to get games. Well,
that's been a lot of silence.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking if there's anything else we needed to address with this. I do want to tell you a story. Is that okay? And oh, I want yeah, you to absolutely. Tell me if I handled this appropriately, in your opinion.
We're doing a
reverse.
A switcheroo?
A reverse.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
An old Daniel Soren switcheroo. Okay. Well, yeah. Let me get my Soren hat on.
Okay.
Broncos. toilet Broncos rad
sun's going down toilet out. Okay, I was in my yard the other day and I have an alley that's behind my house and I hear a scuffle out in the alley, some sort of a dust up. I guess it's not physical yet, but I can hear two people shouting at each other and I recognize the sounds as one of my neighbors from across the alley and the other one is another guy in the alley who I guess is walking his dog. And my neighbor in the alley is saying, he's upset because this man has been letting his dog defecate in the alley, which is, you know, public space. And it's not the worst thing, but it's also like, don't fucking do that. And so he's yelling at him and he said, I got video of you. I've got video of you. And the other guy's like, he's like, hey, you better watch your mouth. And like, I can tell that like, he's getting closer to him and stuff. And I was like, oh, I maybe need to go step in this. Like this sounds like this is going to turn into a real altercation. So I put on my flip flops. I walk back out to, I have a door that leads out to the alley that goes through a wall. I put my hand on the doorknob and I hear my neighbor say, I don't need to show you the video. Look, I'm on next door. Everybody on next door knows who you are and where you live. We talk about you all the time. And I took my hand off the doorknob and backed away from it and just sat there and listened to these two fight for a while, because now I didn't know whose team I was on anymore. Like, just one sentence made me think, oh, I don't want to help either of these people. And he kept saying, one guy kept saying, show me the video. And he's going, I don't need to show it to you. I have 27 videos of you. I don't need to show them to you. And then like, it got into one of those scenarios where their voices got higher because one person apparently touched the other one on the chest. And then the word assault came up. And then the other one was saying, that's not assault. And then the arguing over semantics of assault, and battery came up, and then call the cops. No, you call the cops. I'd be happy to call the cops. Yeah, call them. That game of chicken. And it was one of those most embarrassing fights I've ever heard that I just couldn't go out. And like, I could have probably gone out and cooled things down, which would have been the right thing to do, because it went on for a very long time and it sounded like it might get physical, but I didn't. And now I don't like either one of them.
Is it weird? I mean, I have a lot to say. Is it weird that I know whose side I'm on based purely on your impressions? Because the guy who's like, I need to show you the video. It's on next door. I'm like, fuck that guy. And when you're talking about the other guy, and the other guy's like, that's not assault. I'm like, all right, this guy's making sense to me.
It was the other way. The assault stuff was the other way around.
Really? Yeah. Okay, well, then you need to get consistent voices when you're telling stories.
Yeah, you're right. I need to pick like a more unagreeable voice for the other gentleman as well, yeah, just to make it fair. But
you were definitely conveying something with, I don't need to show you the video.
Yes.
Like,
well, that's the tone I was hearing.
You don't like that guy.
Yeah. Well, that's what made me turn around. I mean, cause it was, going into it, I had somebody whose side I was on. I was on the side of the guy who's my neighbor, who I know. And I was like, my loyalty only goes as far as like who I know better.
Right.
And so I was like, ooh, I don't want to see him get beat up or anything. I don't want to see a fight. And the other guy, it sounded like it was going to happen. The other guy was like, you need to watch your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
And he's like, back up. I'm not going to back up. You back up. I can't back up. I'm going to get to my wall. And like that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
let's go take care of this. And then the whole situation, maybe it could have also been that it became evident to me that neither one of them was going to do anything. I'd like to pretend that that was the case, but I don't know. It could have escalated. And I don't want to help either person here. I don't want to get involved in this.
I lean towards, if you're mad at someone for having their dog poop on in the alley, you're in the right there.
Yeah.
You're clean up after your dog. I've had a dog for 8 years now. I know it sucks. I don't enjoy it. It's not fun. It's one of the worst parts of having a dog. But it's also a thing that you signed up for when you get a dog. You can get away with it sometimes. Like, good for you, I guess. But you really shouldn't, you know? Like, I don't pick up Jackson's shit only when, I've run out of bags in the middle of a walk. Then it's like, I'm just going to have to live with him pooping here on the sidewalk, and that's really it. But otherwise, I clean it up, and it's not fun, but it's, you know, it's part of the social contract of having a dog. The thing that complicates it a little bit and that you can lend clarity to is, I've never been on next door.
Oh, dude.
I don't know if it's good or if it's very bad. Maybe you can start by explaining to our audience what next door is in case they don't know.
Yeah, let me try and be objective in an explanation of next door. It's a place where everybody in a specific neighborhood can get together and talk online. It's a forum. And people can raise issues. They can say, hey, I heard gunshots. Did anyone else hear that? Yes, I also heard that. I think it was fireworks. That kind of stuff. I'm already editorializing.
Are you anonymous on it? Like, is a requirement?
No.
Oh, you have to be Soren Bowie?
It can be Soren B. I guess you could put in any name you want.
Oh, so it could be one of the other Sorens in your neighborhood?
But I think generally people, there's like a tacit agreement that everybody, you would recognize the names on there because Nextdoor allows you to get so niche in your community. Nextdoor is universal. It's everywhere. But mm-hmm. you pick out not only just like your zip code, you pick out your block. And so people know everybody else who's on there. And if there was just like some weird name on there that no one recognized, like Alcat17, they'd be like, well, okay, who are you? Mm-hmm. And they'd want some sort of verification that you actually lived there. Ideally what it'd be used for is finding lost dogs, people who had their house broken into, warning everybody else, or people asking for footage from their rings, whatever it is. These are the best uses of Nextdoor. This is almost exclusively what it's not used for.
Right. As a non-Nextdoor user, do you know, can I tell you what the reputation of it is?
Yeah, go.
Wealthier people in a neighborhood warning about other people that they find suspicious.
That happens a lot. I will say that I also lived in a neighborhood that was multifamily housing, mm-hmm. some low-income family developments there, and they also had Nextdoor. We all did.
No, I believe that Nextdoor is available.
And it was bad there,
it's
too.
it's universal, and everyone can use it everywhere, but it the reputation is, again, it doesn't necessarily need to be wealthy versus non-wealthy, but it is a tool to rally the neighborhood against someone else.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That happens all the time. It's like, it's people peeking through their blinds and just like snooping on their neighborhood and saying, here's what I saw the other day. There was a person out there that was looking at cars when they went by and I didn't recognize them. And people are like, ooh, look out. Hey, thanks for the tip. And then other people being like, what were they doing? Well, they walked past our car and they looked at it. I'm like, did they look in the windows? No, but they looked at our license plate and it looked like they were trying to memorize it. And you're like, what the fuck is this person talking about? Like, happened here?
Right. I try to imagine if Nextdoor existed when I was a kid in my lower middle class Hazlitt, New Jersey town, if like all of the people in my neighborhood had a forum where they were allowed to say whatever they wanted to everyone else, it would have just been a nightmare.
Yeah.
It would have been people saying like, it's those four kids again.
Yes.
They're walking up and down the street with a basketball and I don't know what they're doing. I haven't seen them before. And like I'm not allowed to say, it's like, oh, it's me and my three friends and we're walking down the street talking about girls and we have a basketball because we think it looks cool. And in the meantime, there's a bunch of paranoid people looking out their windows, working themselves and each other up into a fervor because you have nothing better to do on a weekday.
Yes, it's about 40% petty grievances and 40% wild speculation and then 20% for what it actually should be used for. Mm-hmm. The petty grievances are usually passive aggressive and never like addressing the person by name. But it's so clearly about one person in your neighborhood. And then the wild speculations are just the weirdest ones because you're right. It generally is like a race thing. You'll have somebody mm-hmm. in your neighborhood that they don't recognize. And what that means is there was somebody of color in the neighborhood.
Right.
And they didn't like it. And it's just like, whoa. just a peek into these lives of other people. And that you only see their ugliest parts. Nextdoor was a mistake.
Has something good come of it for you ever?
Yeah.
Which is not impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had my Nextdoor neighbor at my old house got attacked by a dog that was out in the street. And we talked about it on Nextdoor and ended up finding the dog and the dog's owner from it. Which was good because then the kid had to have like some surgery to replace some tendons in his wrist.
Yeesh.
Yeah. And also the stitches and everything like that. So he was not in any position to be paying for that. And the owner of the dog should have been paying for that. And they did.
Well, that's good.
But that was pretty much the only circle. Oh, you know, sometimes they find pets in a good way. And I'm trying to think of any other circumstances. I mean,
I don't bring it up to be like, be completely pro next door or anything like that. I'm still anti next door, but I can recognize that like it was created for pet finding and problem solving.
It's so
even
funny.
If that's not what it's used for.
This time of year too, right, you know, from May to the end of July, every single day somebody's on the lip being like, was that gunshots? Did anyone else hear those gunshots? It's like, no, those are fireworks, man. Every single night. That's all you're going to hear, a bunch of fireworks.
How active is it? Is it like, is there action every single day?
Yes. Wow. Every single block, every single day.
This is fucking 24-hour news channels for neighborhood gossip. This is bad. This is not great.
It's a huge mistake. I used to read it on the way. I would take the train to work when we worked at Cracked, and I would just sit on the train and just absorb these posts because it's also very fun to watch in the same way a car crashes. It's like, oh my God, you're just, it's just gross all around and you can't look away.
It's tough because I feel like a thing like that would probably appeal to me just because I think we've talked about this before. I'm obsessed with the idea of having neighbors and particularly older neighbors. Like all of my neighbors, my immediate neighbors in my apartment building are older. And I love running into them in the halls and talking to them. And when I lived in LA in my last apartment, I like ended up collecting all of the older random couples that lived in the building and would just like make sure I spent time talking to them because I find so much joy in very boring everyday chit chat, like sharing an elevator with someone and talking about the weather or talking about construction and they're talking about opening up a Morton Williams down the street, but they've been talking about it forever. Construction in the city. I live for this shit. Like the other day, I ran into my neighbors. They're both in their 60s, and I was talking to the wife, and we were wearing our masks, and she was like, "So hot out! I'm wearing these masks all the time. It's so sweaty. I'm getting my mouth. I'm breaking out like a teenager." And the husband just goes, "Summer in New York." And I was like, I fucking live for this shit. I love it. I love this pointless conversation. It makes me feel so normal. It's so great. I want to do this for
so
hours.
Deprived. COVID is just like destroying this one aspect of your life that you need so badly.
This is separate from COVID. This is before any of this.
But I'm saying you're missing it now. You can't ride an elevator with somebody now.
Oh, God, no. And so only these fleeting moments when we pass each other in the hallways.
Oh, man. You need someone to talk about how there's a 7-Eleven going in down the street.
I know. Oh, my God.
What are they going to use that old space for? I don't know. I heard that they might do an RH warehouse.
Yeah. Like, I absolutely need someone to tell me, like, you know, there used to be a barbershop where they charged $12. Now everything seems like it's $20 for just a simple man's haircut. I'm like, I know. You're telling me $12 in Manhattan? Goodness gracious, Phil. Yeah.
You know, before that was a Starbucks, it was a library. Well, not immediately. Let's see. It was a library. And then, of course, it became a Ben Franklin hardware store.
Keep going. I'm so close. Keep going.
Oh, and then around the time Ben Franklin was bought up by Ace, they made it an Ace, but they kept the Ben Franklin sign. Just the employees wore Ace badges. Mm-hmm. Now, after that, it became what's called a Yellow Front. Now, Yellow Front's, I don't even know what that store was. It was sort of like a Kmart.
sort of like a Kmart. I don't even know if we have Kmarts anymore. I love this.
That's my nightmare. That kind of conversation.
Talking to old people about nothing?
Yes. Yeah. I feel the opposite way as you about it.
I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what I find so... it's just very pleasant.
Yeah.
I also like... I'm sure some of it is performative on my part. I like the idea that an old person or an old couple will walk away and be like, such a nice young man. In like a, the next generation isn't horrible. Like I like being an ambassador of like, I'm going to say ma'am and be polite and listen to you talk about how much cleaner the beaches are now than they used to be and what a good job we've done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of guess in the same way that like I'll watch a Turner Classic movie and have no idea what it's about and watch the whole movie and hate it, but love the experience of having just watched an old movie. Like, it feels like it exists outside of time and it's really nice to take a little break like that. And I think maybe you get the same thing from these kinds of conversations where it's just like, not everything has to weigh so much.
Yeah.
Some things are allowed to just be light.
Right. All I want to do is gather all of my old neighbors up and watch The Music Man and all of us like nod and agree like the streets are so clean and everyone says yes sir and yes ma'am. Isn't that nice that they're wearing suits in the daytime and being polite? And I'm like, yeah, it is very nice. I like that too.
With a capital C, it rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Well, Dan, we are about at time here.
Yeah, this episode kind of got off the rails.
Yeah, no, I think
not in like
fun.
A chaotic way, but in like a who is this show for kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't pure chaos, but
that's right.
It's up there. Well, Dan, I know you're probably aware of this, but the. You know what? Actually, I forgot all the pageantry of this. Let me go find the social accounts. Okay. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And before I do that, Daniel, I wanted to give you a chance to speak about something. I know that you're aware that there's still a lot of deforestation happening in South America, especially because of COVID. There's not as many people who are out there protecting a lot of the land, and they're slashing and burning a lot of the rainforest for cattle grazing and to create new land that would then create a profit as opposed to the life that lived there before. My question for you, Dan, is what's the part of your body you like the most?
Oh man, this is such an easy question. I love my calves so fucking much. I don't know if that's weird or not, but I have not had a consistent, I'm not like the most consistent exerciser lifetime or anything like that. So like I don't generally always feel great about my entire body, but because I've run, because that's something specifically I've done forever, even if I'm not great at it, I still make time to do it. I am blessed with glorious, glorious calves. And it doesn't seem like something that is worth bragging about, because no woman, like, no, you're not going to go to a bar and impress the person that you're trying to impress with calves generally. But I'm in New York in the summer during quarantine, so I'm out in shorts all the time, and not a lot of guys look good in shorts. But this guy, with my fucking world-class dumper and these tight-ass calves, I look incredible in shorts all the time. I tan really well, and my calves are tight. And someone sees me, they know, this guy can run. The top half, I don't know, there seems to be some confusion about what's going on up there. But those calves, those are athletic calves.
Not a real common or uniform aesthetic on the top.
No,
but the
no,
bottom...
There seems to be some discord.
I don't remember if we told this story on the podcast or not, but Dan and I went to go shoot a sketch in Idlewild at one point. The day that we got there, they put us in costumes, and Dan's calves could not be contained. The minute he put on the pants, his calves broke through the pants.
Yeah.
Which is a rare thing that happens. His calves just, the seams couldn't contain them.
I have really, like, if I wanted to like really make a go at this calf thing and changed all of my dating profile pictures on the apps to just like different shots of my calves, I would match with a lot of people who were like, this guy is clearly an athlete. And then they'd be very surprised and in a lot of ways disappointed when they meet me in real life. But for a few fleeting moments, they'd be like, this guy fucking, he like runs and hops and climbs.
Right. I think the
women are into guys who hop, right?
Of course. Look, I am a hopper, Dan. I know. All right. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. Well, Michael's on here, but I should delete that because...
Who is that?
There's a guy used to be on this podcast occasionally. Oh. You'd hear him chuckle, and then we'd get his opinion every once in a while, but he's...
Oh, yeah.
He's still running
really give
the show.
Us that, he'd give us that jolt of energy we needed whenever things were dipping. He's the wild card who would come in and give us that zhuzh.
Or you can follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. I do want to do the Instagram because we haven't done it in a while. So all strap right. in QQ_with_Soren_and_Daniel. Don't know why we didn't end with an underscore. It feels like that would have been a best joke, but well, what are you going to do? You can also find, follow, hire our producer and sound engineer, Gabe, at GabeHarder.com at some point in the future.
Now I got all those, all you you calf hawks out there, you know, set your peepers on these. On these
hawks have the skinniest little bullshit legs.
No, like that's what I'm saying. Like the calf hawks are the people who are attracted to calves.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
So I'm asking them to use their heightened eyesight to affix their gaze to these fucking
pendulous.
Yeah. These amazingly tight leg muscles that have been carved from marble.
All right.
Am I losing you?
No, it's fine. I think you're right. I think you got good calves, Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll see you later.